Welcome to the Jukebox Podcast from WP Tavern. My name is Nathan Wrigley. Jukebox is a podcast which is dedicated to all things WordPress. The people, the events, the plugins, the blocks, the themes, and in this case, inclusivity in web design decisions. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can do that by searching for WP Tavern in your podcast player of choice, or by going to wptavern.com/feed/podcast, and you can copy that URL into most podcast players. If you have a topic that you'd like us to feature on the podcast, I'm keen to hear from you and hopefully get you or your idea featured on the show. Head to wptavern.com/contact/jukebox and use the form there. So on the podcast today, we have Maestro Stevens. Maestro is an international speaker and managing director of the Iconic Expressions. His areas of expertise include digital marketing, brand strategy, web development, and project leadership. In this episode, Maestro lays out the case for how inclusivity is not just something that we need to be concerned about at things like events, but also in our WordPress website designs. Maestro recently gave a presentation at WordCamp Asia entitled Unlocking Universal Creativity, the Future of Inclusive WordPress Design. He wants to get people to think about making design choices with inclusivity in mind, so that they're representative of various cultures and varied backgrounds. Maestro reveals the challenges and the pushback he has faced on his journey, telling us about the struggles and support he's found within the community. His approach includes utilizing AI to create unique imagery, reflective of a diverse population, and how he sees this as something new in the industry. The discussion also gets into the practical side as well, with Maestro outlining some of the technical aspects and future plans for his ideas, extending an open invitation to listeners who wish to contribute or learn more. If you're curious about the intersection of creativity, representation, and the WordPress ecosystem, this episode is for you. If you're interested in finding out more, you can find all of the links in the show notes by heading to wptavern.com/podcast, where you'll find all the other episodes as well. A quick note before we begin, this was recorded live at WordCamp Asia. There was quite a lot of background noise to contend with, and I've done my best to make the audio as easy to listen to as possible. And so, without further delay, I bring you Maestro Stevens. I am joined on the podcast by Maestro Stevens. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing excellent.
Very nice to have you with us. We're at WordCamp Asia. We're in the venue. Maestro is joining me on the second day of the conference. So it's the third day, including contributor day. You've already done your presentation, which I think you did yesterday.
Yes, I did.
It was entitled Unlocking Universal Creativity, the Future of Inclusive WordPress Design. We're going to get into that and have a conversation around that subject in a moment. Before we do that, Maestro, will you just spend a minute telling us who you are and what your WordPress journey is, your relationship with WordPress?
And all I have is a minute, Nathan.
Just 1 minute. Just a minute. The clock starts. No.
All right. Well,
as long as you like.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me again. This is an honor. And for us to be in person is another honor. As you mentioned, my name is Maestro Stevens, the Fresh Prince of WordPress. And my whole goal is bringing a fresh perspective to those who have a misunderstanding of what WordPress is. In my spare time, I love to cook. I used to be a chef in another life. I have a daughter. I love technology. I love creating opportunities. I love creating dreams for people, bringing people to WordCamp for the first time. That's my spiel.
Well, that's really nice. And you've missed out something, which is that you're also really into audio. And we spent a good 10 minutes before we hit record just obsessing about the equipment that we've got, which, as you can probably hear, dear listener, is not as good as it could be, but it's what we've got. It's portable and it will do the job. So tell us about the talk. Give us the nitty gritty on why you chose that title. What was it all about? And we'll have a journey, a conversation, and dig into it.
Yeah. Well, I got a confession to make. The title is a little bit of a hook, you know. It's nothing new that we don't do. However, it's still authentic and as far as the presentation is concerned, mainly because I wanted to bridge the gap with helping people understand that when it comes to diverse creators, people from ethnic backgrounds or different backgrounds, such as WordCamp Asia, that accessibility can be used interchangeably with the word inclusivity. Because when you are making things accessible, you're saying, I want to include others. And sometimes we separate those two terminologies. They have different meanings, but they are cousins or, you know, family related. So I really wanted to help people understand that our platform, Iconic Templates, which is what I was talking about yesterday, is a platform created for those who want to be included and need to access certain tools and solutions that typically would normally not have access.
What you've just described, is this something that you find important on a personal level? Is this a journey, not just in the WordPress space, is this something that you, I was going to use the word preach, but that's the wrong word, adjacent to preach, is this something that you talk about in other spheres as well?
Yes, I would say, well, one, to answer your question, it is a passion of mine. I ran into a lot of issues myself. I think us business owners and entrepreneurs and creators, a lot of the problems that we solve for others stem from us. And something that I would say I did not see a lot of when I was looking at something as templates in the internet. And I'm not going to point out any particular company, but you know, there's just a lot of templates that I saw that didn't have imagery and representation that reminded me of me. You know, I know it's controversial because I've got some backlash from this in certain communities. People are just going to take the content out anyway. They're going to replace the images and replace the things. But the reality is people want to see them. They want to hear them. They want to know that the company that's creating tools for them thought of them in mind. Hey, we're going to make this thing and then we're going to slap on some stuff. Whereas we've created everything we've created with certain cultures and certain industries in mind. From not just the imagery and the content, but even the structure and the layout. So we're coming from the forefront and not the aftermath of adding others.
It sounds from what you just said as if there's been a little bit of pushback from certain people. Is that the minority? Do you find WordPress as a community? I mean, obviously, that's a bit of an umbrella phrase and, you know, it's made of millions and millions of different people. But do you find the WordPress community on the whole receptive to what you're saying? Or is it more a case of you're having to push back and explain yourself over and over again and being challenged and pushing back?
Well, Nathan, yes, I've been challenged a lot. To be transparent with you, when we launched a year and a half ago with this platform inside of a couple communities, very small, we had good reception only because I made an adjustment because I got scared. The first thing that happened when I said I'm going to create this platform for diverse creators and BIPOC communities, people, for lack of a better term, did not like that. They gave me a lot of negative feedback. So what I did is I said, okay, well, let's create the platform for everybody. I spoke at WordCamp Europe. Then I spoke at WordCamp US. Now I'm here speaking at WordCamp Asia. And I realized that there are a lot of people that do want to see, I would say, the type of, not product, but the type of solutions and the type of representation. But I had to meet these people in real life and I had to learn my tribe. And every WordPress community is not your tribe, even if they, quote unquote, liked your product before.
Do you get a sense that this is a case of the quiet majority who don't speak up to support what you're doing? Do you get that feeling? Because it sounds like when you've come to these events, you have met kindred spirits, people who are aligned with what you're aligned, but you had to go and find them, which kind of tells me they were always there in the first place, but they didn't let you know that they were there. So is it a case of that? You know, people just keeping quiet and putting their head under the parapet to dodge the proverbial arrow?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of all that. And it's crazy that I'm learning how to, I don't want to say play the game, but be careful on the things that I say, because I can be very outspoken at times. That's a gift and a curse in some ways. So with that being said, I do think that it is, when you say the word minority and majority, there are people that are afraid to speak up. And there are people who don't want to speak up because it will ruin their opportunities and their what they've gained, I guess, growing in the ladder of WordPress. Because there's gatekeepers in WordPress. You know, right. There's people that you have to appease in certain ways. And there's people that don't want to hear your voice all the time. So I do think, to your point, when you think about it, the majority versus the minority, it's a little bit of all. But I do think there's a lot of people who are afraid to say something. And there's people who don't want to say something because they don't want to ruin what they have.
That sort of feels a bit upsetting, really, though, doesn't it? On some level, it feels like that's a bit of a shame. But you're right. We definitely have some strong characters in the WordPress community. Are you talking about being online? So in, you know, groups on various different platforms, is it that kind of community that you've been involved in?
Yes.
Okay. And there are some definite characters, aren't there? And some people who have fairly loud voices.
Yes.
Okay, so you've made the effort to come out and speak about these things. At these events, have you felt that you've had a nice reception? Has it been a different experience?
Good question. I would say, not to be redundant, but a little bit of both. Going to WordCamp Europe was an eye-opener. Athens, Greece, I mean, well, one, there's not a lot of people that live there that look like me. I stood out immediately just from that perspective. And then actually going to WordCamp itself, where we're told that they are looking at it from an inclusive lens. And, you know, we want to involve everybody, make everybody feel comfortable. When I actually got in the venue, in the building, I thought that the stares were going to stop. You know, I thought that the looks were going to stop, and they didn't all stop. And that's not everybody, but it was quite obvious in quite a few. But I will definitely say when I did my presentation, those people who joined the presentation showed love. When I did a presentation yesterday, those who joined show love. I've been seeing random people say, hey, man, I saw your presentation yesterday. I didn't even know they did. And then I got way more questions than I ever would have thought I would have gotten because people were like, oh, he's not afraid to talk about this. And so they're raising their hands and they're saying, well, what do I do? I'm hearing that from people from all across the world. And I love that. So that to me is what sticks out more than anything. The rest of the nonsense, for lack of a better term, I'm striving to kind of let that go.
Do you feel safe in these spaces? It's not an immediate yes.
No, it's not an immediate yes.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to go down that path if you don't wish to, but I am curious because we're quite good as a community at congratulating ourselves on how accommodating we are. And we definitely have people, and I know that you know many of the people that I'm not going to name, but you probably will intuit who I'm talking about, who fight this fight and they make the effort. But it is interesting to me that despite all of that, there's still, it sounds like, considerable amounts of work to be done. The example of WordCamp Athens that you've just described, that doesn't sound like a particularly pleasant experience that you had there.
I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to even go. That changed my life. I encourage anybody who is thinking of getting a different perspective of life in the world, it doesn't matter what kind of pushback or resistance that you get, travel. Travel to places that you would have never been before, even if you're going to get looked at and stared at and feel uncomfortable, because you'll learn to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, which will give you a different perspective. So to your point, and going back to the whole safety aspect of things, I would say I don't always feel the safety net that I would love to be able to speak up. I will say that for the most part, going to Athens, Greece, as an example, it reminded me of WordPress is also a reflection of the world, too, to a degree. We still have some work to do in the world, you know, everywhere. And WordPress is doing what it can to help mitigate that. But I do think, to your point, there's a lot of work to be done. And just really quickly, I've called out some founders. And when it came to certain issues or certain things to help support me and back me up. And I've noticed that they chose profit over passion, you know, over mission. And the funny part is the data shows, because I'm a data analyst, you know, I have an agency as well, too. Data shows that most people, they want to purchase and they want to deal with brands that actually are mission-based. How ironic is that? So it's kind of a catch-22 that, you know, there's these founders that don't want to touch certain issues. Most people purchase based on, is there a mission, a value, the reasons? They're not just purchasing on quality, you know, things like that. It's who is behind it? Why are they doing it? What are they doing it for?
Yeah, it's interesting. I often end up at the about page soon after I've gone to the pricing page because I do want to know about the company that I'm buying the plugin or whatever it may be. And it does play a certain part. I'm going to ask this question. Feel free to ignore it because I don't know what pitfalls there may be inside this. Does geography play a part in this? Do you find that you can have this conversation more easily at home, for example, in the US? Is it a conversation that's being more advanced, more acceptable to have, more straightforward? We've obviously mentioned Europe, we've got Asia, there's different complexities, they've obviously got their own things going on. But do you notice that geography plays a part in this?
Yes, I think so. And I had some conversations today with a couple other founders from East Asia. And it was great to hear that they're from a different country and different culture. They're saying they find the same issues. I'm like, so I'm not crazy. You know, it's not an American thing. You know what I mean? It's not a US thing. It's an everywhere thing. And global positioning does play a part in it. However, I am grateful that WordPress has people like yourself and people that are I would consider allied, creating platforms where people like me can talk and speak about these issues, because otherwise people are normally just trying to kind of suppress the conversation.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because we've talked for probably about 15 minutes so far, and it feels like we might have been being very negative, but I'm not feeling that really. I'm feeling more like there's a lot of goodness in the WordPress community, but no community is 100% perfect, and there's work to be done. And you have had experiences which are real. They happened. They existed. You've talked to these people and you've got these receptions. So it needs to be addressed. Your product, you've said, tries to address this. And I'm curious as to how templates, parts of a website, how we can map the conversation that we've just had over to a product. So tell me about that. I mean, you alluded to it a little while ago, but just really flesh out what Iconic Templates is and what it does and why it's different.
I love this question because it helps give me a different perspective of how do I define it? And I'm learning, you know, based on the reception. I would say for the most part, our goal with Iconic Templates, and this is the reason why some of our product lines have the word universal in them. For example, Universal Template Themes, Universal Template Library. I believe that a big problem in the WordPress ecosystem and in other ecosystems is that a person says, hey, I like that look. I like that style, but I don't use that tool. And so what we are trying to do, striving to do, because Yoda says you do or you don't, there is no try. So what we're striving to do is bridge that gap for people to say, you've made a style or a look that fits me, whatever it is they do, whatever industry vertical they're in, whatever ethnic background they have. And they're like, but I use the classic editor still. I don't use full site, or I use a page builder. Do you have that look and that style in the page builder that I use? Do you have that look and that style with the plugin that I use? You know, there's email plugins, there's form plugins, there's automation plugins. So what we're striving to do with Iconic Templates is create this universal tether, an ecosystem where you're saying, I like that look and that style, but I may want to use this plugin versus this plugin. I want to use this theme versus that theme, but I want to keep the theme.
So if we were to go to iconictemplates.com and we were to look at your, I'm going to use the word library because I think you said that, your library of patterns.
So for instance, we have a library called UniBlocks. Uh-huh. And so our UniBlocks library is block patterns. Keep it short and simple. Our UniBlocks library currently is created with Cadence blocks, for example.
Okay.
So our next step would be creating it with Elementor widgets or Spectra. For example, that's pretty much what we're doing.
What would I be seeing? I'm imagining I'm on the website. I know we're doing audio, so it's very hard to do this. Bear with us. We'll try and get there. What would I be seeing that would be different from what I might see elsewhere? How would you explain the visual difference of what I might see with what you've got than what other companies bring to bear?
Well, one, you're going to see a lot of imagery of black and brown people and people from other ethnic backgrounds. You're going to see a lot of that. Two, you're going to see a little bit of, we'll say, nerdiness, geekiness mixes with cool, intentionally mixed with some coolness. I have a background where I love hip hop. I haven't seen anybody infuse hip hop into their template platform. So when you go on our platform, you're going to see these backgrounds. I said this in my presentation yesterday. One of my favorite artists is Jay-Z. And when we first started the platform, I didn't know who I was. So we made our color scheme with a whole bunch of colors all over the rainbow. And I can't make this up. One day this is going to be a famous story, but it was a reflection of who I was. I didn't have my identity intact. So our company and our brand didn't have its identity intact. It came to me in an epiphany and eureka moment. I was working with my designer, Dessa, and she needed more inspiration from me on how to create this design or layout for our site. I was stuck. I had a dream. I was like, man, who's my favorite artist? Oh, Jay-Z. What album did he make that's one of my favorite albums? The Blueprint. Aren't templates blueprints? Aren't we as people blueprints? So then I was like, oh, it's blue. And the color of blue is solidarity. There's meanings behind blue. And most companies use blue. You know, a lot of tech companies use blue. So I said, what is the odds of that, that tech companies use blue? One of my favorite artists has an album called The Blueprint. And we are blueprints for others. So when you go to our website, you're going to see a blue background with little templates. And that was inspired by Jay-Z's album, The Blueprint.
And so you mentioned that imagery is a big part. You're differentiating yourself by going out and deliberately finding images which represent the entire world. Does it also stretch to text? Are you surfacing text that you think is aligned in this way as well?
Well, Nathan, here's the thing. I'm going to blow your mind here. One of our big value propositions or values is transparency. So I say our process is a template, our website is a template, and we offer templates. What do I mean by that? Everything we've done, I've intentionally done in a way that can be duplicated for others. We're going to teach from that. The process is a template. People can go to our website and literally look at our website and say, I want to copy what you've done. And what most people don't know is every image you're going to see is made with AI. We do a lot of experimentation. So we use Midjourney, for example. So you said the word find. No, we didn't find. We created, generated based on words, based on the text. So there is not a single image on that website that you will see that you will find anywhere else in any stock library.
Right. So it's unique. It isn't from a stock library.
Not at all.
How has the platform launched? Since the moment you went public with it and you've put it out there, how has the reception been? I mean, I'm guessing by the fact that you're here in WordCamp Asia and obviously are making a living out of this in some way, shape, or form, it must be going all right. But I don't know. You tell me.
Well, we're still in the beginning stages. I'll say that. So I'm still learning to simplify things. One of our biggest problems that we had with our templates, which I've talked to a couple of founders today who are going to help solve this problem, I'm grateful, but it was cumbersome for people to import our templates. So even though we have these different solutions where you can import our form templates, email templates, automations, you had to do it all one by one. But we're going to create a plugin or a solution where it's a one click. You just click the button and you get to import everything. So I'm saying this to say that our reception, I can't give a direct answer with that just yet because I haven't had enough time being able to get feedback. The feedback that I have gotten has been really well, but I've also gotten feedback that let me know, hey, you've got some room to grow. And so we made changes based on that.
Is there any element of this which is a community project? Because obviously you've built a company around it or you've adapted, you know, it's a part of your other companies. But do you welcome contributions or ideas? Do you have a form out there where people can give you suggestions?
Heck yeah. I'm getting ready to work with another designer, a designer from Black Press. Shout outs to Wynn. Anybody else who wants to contribute, involve, collaborate, I know I would appreciate it. I know my designer, Dessa, would appreciate it. Some help, you know, from others. And the reason why I say that is because, to be, again, transparent, she's from the Philippines. So to have a person who's from a different country create imagery or create designs for another culture, for people who are not them, it could be a little difficult.
Right.
So I want to bring some authenticity into it. For instance, I want to bring people from their own countries and their own cultures to help tell me, hey, Maestro, you need to do this with that. That's not what my people like. You may be reading the blogs and reading things and watching videos, but that's not what we look like. That's not what we do. So I need people like that so that way we can be authentic when we're representing them.
Where would you signpost people to go in the WordPress community if things that you've mentioned so far have turned a light on with them and they think, oh, this is something I could get involved in. I think I've got a voice that would help Maestro out. This is something that I'm aligned with. What kind of places would you go? Maybe that could be, I don't know, Slack channels, or it could be something different. It could be an individual who you've been impressed by, who you thought, okay, they're really perfectly aligned. Tell us where to go.
Black Press is one of the communities that I'm heavily involved in, and I respect because the founders are aligned with a lot of my views. There are other communities as well that I'm discovering that could be as much of an intricate part in our mission, in our journey. However, I don't know enough now to say, you know, all those communities are at this point in time. And the communities that I thought were that, I found out they're not that. Right now, I'm in a little bit of a transition of who are my communities and tribes that I can pull from and find.
But we can certainly, when we round off this podcast, we can reference you and people can come and find you. And,
absolutely.
You know, maybe it's a year from now and you'll have had a more solid idea of where you would want people to go. It sounds to me like you're at the beginning of this journey then. You're still trying to crystallize everything. You're still thinking about the roadmap. You're still figuring it out and all of that. Where would we go if we wanted to find you? What's the website? I think I mentioned it, but tell us again. What social channels, email address, whatever you want to share, where can we find you, Maestro?
Well, at this moment in time, you can just go to the website and go to our contact page. If you really care and you want to be involved, we have a nice form there. You know, I strive to make it as welcoming as possible for people, or you can contact me on LinkedIn. So it's either iconictemplates.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. Maestro Stevens is a one of one. I don't think there's anybody else in the world with that name. So you can either Google me, you can LinkedIn, you can go to the website, Iconic Templates, or you can send a bird, you know, send the, you know, we go old school, send a pigeon.
Is there anything we missed? Do you want to say something that we missed out on?
I think you hit a lot of things on the nail. I just want to say that it is great to be here to see you in person. I don't know how long it was, maybe it feels like a year.
About a year. We had
our first interview online. Yeah. So now a year later, we're meeting in person. It just shows how you just never know. And showing up is half the battle.
Yeah, you know? I love events like this. Yeah. I get to meet fabulous people, much like yourself. So Maestro, thank you very much for chatting to me on the podcast today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Nathan. I really appreciate you. You're doing a great job with your podcast, with your platform. You are consistent. You are a working horse.
I just wish I had a better microphone at this event. But you can teach me all about that when we switch this one on.
Hey, I'm going to give you some tips.
Take care, Maestro.
All right, thank you.